Special speaker this morning, Matthew Garrick. We're looking forward to hearing what's on your heart, what you got to share. And yes, Roger will do the rest of the introduction.
Thank you. Wow. I was just thinking as Jason was sharing this that actually God has been planning to build a house from eternity, and it's going to be a house that will be to display his splendor, glory. So he's taking a lot of time preparing us. But I believe when we're ready and when we are shaped together to fit together as living stones, that building will go up very quickly. But he's rubbing the rough edges off of us so we fit together to form this house, which will be a house of prayer for all nations, all ethnos, all ethnicities. And so some of you may remember, it's almost exactly 3 years ago right now, that we had the Open Hands, Open Heart conference here at this church, and that was a time Matthew and Hilda Garrick from the Cross Lake First Nations were with us. I don't know if you remember, on the Saturday night, Matthew was the one that came and played on the native drum right here in this facility, and they've been close friends of Island Breeze, Manitoba. There's Joshua and Janelle are here from Island Breeze this morning, and of course they know the Garricks very well, I believe. And they were joined us yesterday also at the Family Victory Workshop. And yeah, we had people there from as far away as Nelson House, way up further north than Thompson yet. There was a man that was just became a believer 3 weeks ago at the Lot Thunder Crusade. And he's so hungry right now. He came all the way from Nelson House to Niverville to be with us for yesterday. And so God is doing a mighty work in building this house, connecting people. They want to bring this workshop now to Nelson House. Matthew and Hilda here would like to bring it to Cross Lake Family Victory. It's really what God is doing starts with our families. And it's a grassroots movement. It's not looking to top-down solutions. It's looking to a movement that begins in our hearts, because it's becoming increasingly evident that we are not going to solve the issues facing our First Nations or any other part of our land by man-made efforts, or we can't solve it with money alone. But there has to be time to sit down and hear each other's hearts and how we all fit in. And we had a great sharing circle last night with Matthew Garrick there, Abe Clausen, Daryl Kaler, Terry. We had about four different representatives from four different churches hearing each other's hearts. And God was using our First Peoples to provide the setting where we could have this type of a conversation, get to know each other better. So, yeah, Matthew and Hilda are a couple that we're gradually getting to know better and better, and they have something to share. I'm not sure, are you going to have a guest with you? Is that going to work? Okay. So we're just going to turn the rest of the time over to you. Please make welcome Matthew and Hilda Garrick, please.
Thank you. Ekusane. That's how we say thank you in our language, ekusane. So we teach you one word, everybody said ekusane. Yeah, you did good. This guy's good. So we're happy to be here, the fellowship in the spirit. We came in the spirit. And hopefully I don't turn you off with my personality. Hopefully I don't offend anybody. I didn't come to offend anybody, but yeah, so I have my beautiful wife with me here. We've been married for 42 years, and we've been serving the Lord. I served the Lord for about 46 years now. So I came to the Lord in the city of Winnipeg in the 70s. I grew up there in the spiritually for about 5 years, and I went back, got married, and I went back. So we have a good family. We have three boys. We have three girls that are ladies now, and they're all grown up. And we have one foster son, and we have 8 grandchildren, right? Okay. I was been a school teacher for about 35 years, and I just retired on June 30th. So I'm going full-time ministry now, in a sense, in traveling. But I believe we're all full-time ministers, right? I really believe that. Yeah, so we're all in ministry, and so we welcome. Thank you for your warm welcome. Bless you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We stand in your presence, and we just commit our service to you and ask the Holy Spirit to flow through me as I speak today. Bless the people that are here, the brothers and sisters. Bless the little children. Bless each one, its family represented here. We pray for salvation for your household and those that are far off. We pray that you bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to do something here. But I want my wife to come and stand beside me first. Don't take a picture of me. No, we take pictures because we have a ministry. Maybe you have to do a report, I guess, sometimes. So anyways, let's start with this one. Let's lock in. Everybody. Okay. So I want to ask these people, if your thumb is right on top, your right thumb is on top, I want you to lift up your hand. Oh, my God. Okay. So, stay right there. So, you know who you are? You are very resilient. You have just like a childlike faith. So I talked to some students back home. And sometimes I feel led to do this. So I go to the classroom. In middle years, I went, and our schools are open, still open to go and share Christ. So I go in there because I work there, so I went in. And then I says to the students, you know who you are? You are resilient bunch of young people. He says, the Bible says, young man, you are strong. You have overcome the wicked one. They don't know about the Bible, eh? But I'm just walking. So I says, for example, I says, when you wake up in the morning, you come to school, and you're full of joy. But then I says, all these things happen. You sleep in, and then your mom kicks you out, and you don't have any breakfast. And then your joy. Then you walk right there, and you just miss the bus. And then you have to walk, and it starts raining. And then you walk into the classroom, the mean teacher says, how come you're always coming late? You stay after school. Then you get bullied at lunchtime. Whoop, somebody call you a big nose. So you got this. Then you stay after school. You walk home. Whoop. Then you walk home. You get home. And then mom says, what did you do? Why are you coming late? Go straight to the bedroom. And then he says, you're not going to have supper. So he says, can I watch TV? No, I told you I had to go right to bed. Shut that TV off. And then, that day. But then I says, but because you're resilient, you come back the next day, you wake up that next morning, ta-da! So you are resilient, right? You're just like a child. So, what about the other ones? Thank you. What about the other ones, the left ones? You know who you are? You are the pillars of the church. When things get excited, you don't really get excited. When things get low, you don't really get down. But your faith remains constant. That's a better one, right? Okay. That was my breaking the ice. Because I felt the coldness here. Just kidding. Okay, I wanna read something from 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm gonna read from Good News Translation, Good News Bible Translation. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Hoded. He went to meet King Asa. He called out, "Listen to me, King Asa, all of you people of Judah, the Lord is with you as long as you are with him. If you look for him, he will let you find him. If you turn away, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel lived without the true God, without priests to teach them, and without the law. But when trouble came, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel. They searched for him and found him. In those days, no one could come and go in safety because there was trouble and disorder in every land. One nation oppressed another nation. One city oppressed another city because God was bringing trouble and distress on them. But you must be strong and not be discouraged. The work that you do will be rewarded." Amen. And I want another one on 2 Chronicles. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart. Yes, because a lot of you don't know me. I don't know you. I don't know you either. But the Holy Spirit will speak. So sometime later, the armies of Moab and Ammon, together with their allies, Mennonites, I'm just kidding, invaded Judah. Some messengers came and announced to King Jehoshaphat, "A large army from Aram has come from the other side of the Dead Sea to attack you." I've been to the Dead Sea. I swam in there. I can picture it in my mind. They have already captured Esason, I don't know how to pronounce that, Tamar. This is another name for En-Jedi. I've been there. Jehoshaphat was frightened and prayed to the Lord for guidance. Then he gave orders for a fast to be observed throughout the country. From every city of Judah, people hurried to Jerusalem to ask the Lord for guidance. And then they did. And then the prophet, the Spirit of the Lord, will come upon a prophet. The little ones will come together, and the parents will come, and they're going to see God. And then when they did that, and then the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet, and they start to prophesy. He says, "Do not be afraid." He says, "Do not be discouraged." He says, "Because just go and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's." Oh my God, how lucky we are, how blessed we are that God is beside us to fight our battles. Amen. So I was thinking of to share about seeking the Lord and my experience. I'll share that. You know, my granddaughter, she is in Pilot Mount Hockey Academy School now. She's 16. She's a good hockey player, young lady. So there's hockey school in Winnipeg. I don't know how many years we come to hockey school for the girls, Sammy, Jules, Small. And then we come. Then we take a holiday at the same time. And then during my holidays, I go out of town. And I'm going to go and seek God. Sometimes I want to get up before the sunrise like Jesus. And I want to go there like him. Because I need him in my life. I need him in the life of my family. So I'm praying there and I go, I don't want to brag about myself, but this is what I did. I don't know how many years. And I'm walking there and going around that park. And I pray for every household in Winnipeg. I pray for our indigenous peoples that live in Winnipeg, about 70,000, maybe more. I pray for that revival would come upon them. Awakening would come. And I cry out to God, God, help my people. Deliver my people. Set them free to come to the Lord. So we come. I says, Lord, save the mirror. Every household here in Winnipeg, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest member, let them taste Jesus. I went to pray here outskirts of your community. I pray for the farm fields there. I was in between two farmlands. And I prayed for them, for the farmers right there, because I can pray there that God will bless them. I pray for your community. I was singing, like me and my wife, we go around in our community. And then we hit the north end. North end seems to always be the rough part of town. Same thing back home. Same thing in Winnipeg, I guess. So we go and pray there. We go in there and we go to the south side. We go to the east. We go west. We cover Cross Lake and we ask God, because only him can bring changes in the hearts of people. If hearts could be changed, the community will be changed. That's where it starts. And we need Jesus. But I know that if we seek him with all our hearts, with all our strengths, with all our hearts and spirit, we will find him. We'll find him. You will find him. So we pray, we go around, and sometimes we leave Winnipeg, and then along the way, God would bring conviction, and then sometimes the burden for our indigenous peoples, and then sometimes we couldn't drive, I couldn't drive anymore. I would just cry, and we just cry, parked on highway number 6, and I says, God, give us souls. And then it hurts right here. And it really hurts. And we cried to God because only him can bring deliverance. And then I share, you know, I know that God is going to give me souls of our people, not just our people, but because I can cry, because I can feel for them, because I can love them. Only when we see God, our hearts get touched by the Spirit. You know that, eh? Because we're you know, sometimes, especially us men, could be so callous. Can be so callous and we don't change. But we'll never change unless we see God and read this word. And it'll touch our hearts, because that's the way it is. Seems like the women, our wives, women, got tender hearts. So when I go, when I get my holidays in the summer, I enjoy them. I got myself a place just outskirts of our community, Sand Bay, they call it. It's like a beach. People come there now. People come camping there. They camp there for the summer, like about a few weeks maybe. And they have a tent meetings there too. And it's a Métis community, Métis people that sponsors that. And they come together. There could be around 200 tents there. I wish you could come and join them and witness the people there. They would listen to you. And they would have tent meetings. And then another area there, I chose that place to be by my prayer altar. So I was there, and I poured my oil in there. And I says, I claim this for the name of the Lord. This will become holy ground. I said, amen. Because wherever we touch the soles of our feet, right? That's ours, he said to Joshua, right? So I took a board there and I nailed it. I made a cross there. I nailed it right there. I says, I claim this land because that's where parties happen. They come to party. So I go there in the mornings and I go cry out to God. And I go there sometimes in the evenings. And sometimes these party people come, you know, they look at me and they take off. One tough guy come there, he parked, and he almost hit my vehicle. He looked, you know, what are you doing here? So I took my Bible here. Oh, he said, so he took off. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. If we're hungry, for it, eh? I talk to the students there, and I go to the classrooms. They just love me. They just love me. I don't need to be loved, but they just love me. And I walked in there, and I could talk to them. And I heard the story before. You know, I said to them, I just go in and I say this. A horse leads had two daughters. Proverbs 30. And they say, you know what they say? Give me. They say, anybody ever read that? The horse, how many ever read that? Horse leads daughter? No? Okay. Bloodsuckers, right? So, and then he says there are three things that are never satisfied, right? Read it when you get home. Then he says, the teacher says, eh? No, he says four things. He says, the grief, the fire, the land that's like a desert, dry ground. And then he says, the barren womb. And the grave, the fire will never say, that's enough. He says, they're hungry. I says to the students, these from the nature we can learn. I says, they have such a desire. They have such hunger. Just like the grave. The grave would like to bury all of us. I don't know how many people are buried, he says, in Arlington Cemetery every day. But then I says, he would want to bury us, and the grave would say, come on, some more. The grave will never say, that's enough, because they're hungry. And then the fire will burn everything. The fire will never be satisfied until they burn everything. Because they have such a desire, they have such an appetite. Not be quenched, because there's such a desire, there's just a hunger. And then I says, the land that needs water, the rains can come, the tributaries can come, the streams, the creeks could come and flow right in there. But then the dry land will never say, that's enough. You just keep on stringing. And then I says to the students, unless our appetite, our desire is like this, I says, we're not going to succeed, but we must be hungry like the grave. And then I says, like the horse leech daughters, they say, give me. Sometimes that's our attitude, eh? Give me. Come on. So I says to them, the horse leech daughters, they didn't say, give me. But then I says, because they really mean it, the horse leech daughter says, give me. Right? You got to be like that, eh? We got to be hungry for God, right? I want God. You got to become like a horse leech. Suck him in right here. Suck all the blood from him. Two of them. God says, get this thing out of here. But we're hungry, right? But we're hungry for God, right? But we're hungry for change, right? So I wanted to change too. So inspiration come to me. And then he says, you have your wallet? All my life, I put it on my left hand pocket. And then it come to me that I'll move it now to my right hand pocket. And the brain's got the message already. It becomes automatic already because there's change happening there. Right? Little things we do to change. So I have these little boys come, foster kids, and every time they finish eating, they take their plates, they put the scraps in the garbage, they put their plate in the sink. I didn't do that. I was a grown man already, but they were only 7 and 8 years old maybe. So when they went home, I thought, I would do it. I'd do that. I'd do it for my wife. So every time I finish eating, I take my plate. I don't know, already maybe 20 years, 30 years. It becomes automatic. What about you? Your wife does it for you. But then, not just that I do it for my wife, just to honor my wife, my beautiful wife. Because little things changes people, right? The things they do for us, our wives, they melt our hearts, right? Come on. We minister to one another here. My wife, when I get up, all my clothes will be ready, all folded up. And me, if I do it myself, I wander around, where's the other sock? It went in the dryer, but it didn't come out. I don't know where it went, right? Right, man? We're the same, eh? So, but then all the same, they're all there. All the foods, the meals that I come, my meal is there because I'm a working man. And then when these things happen, it melts my heart. It touches my heart. It causes me to love my wife more. Not just because what she does, but somehow it touches my heart. It melts my heart. And I give her a phone call. Sometimes 3 times. She said, don't call again. She'll say. Because little things will kindle or will rekindle our love for each other, right? So, because I know if we don't seek God, if we don't pray, little things will come our way. In my lifetime, as I come when I was younger, we've been married 42 years. Because of lack of seeking God and maybe lack of reading the word, we come through temptations. I've come through temptations like we can almost say like Jesus. He was tempted at all points, as we are, but yet without sin, right? So I come along. I married a beautiful girl. But then along the way, because of neglect, but if we look for him, we'll find him. And he'll fight our battles, right? So in lifetime, I come to my wife 3 times. And I says to my beautiful wife, and I says, something I have to tell you. And you have to forgive me. So I says, you know, I'm tempted for another woman. And it's real. And it's so strong here and here. And I wrestle with it. And then I come to her and I says, I never touched a woman, but it's real. I says, you forgive me? She cries. I says, I think about 3 times I come to her. Maybe that was my weakness. But I come. Because I need God. So I tell the congregation, our congregation, I said, men go through that. And sometimes, I says, your husband will come to you. I have such a good wife. And I says, don't go all hysterical because your husband come to confess and they need help. I like this about a preacher, preacher's wife. I don't know them. They said, the wife says, traveling all over, I guess her husband travels all over the world. He said to her husband before he leaves, he says, honey, whatever happens, come home. What a wife, eh? What a wife. Thank you for the beautiful wives that we have that are sitting here today. Your wife, your husband is become a preacher now because of you, right? Or otherwise they could have fell. They could have fallen. They fall into adultery. It's a disgrace that will never be wiped away, right? According to Proverbs, will never be wiped away. So everybody will always mention. Well, wherever we go, it's always somebody will always bring it. But thank God for prayer and for prayer for the wives that pray for us. Hallelujah. You know, in family, my daughter had an abusive relationship. She left her husband. But I was thinking, maybe because I lacked in seeking God also to discern. You know, we need discernment, right? We need to be sensitive in the spirit. And if we don't pray in the Holy Ghost, building our most holy faith, I says, we'll be weak. We will lack discernment. And I just decreed for my daughter to be married. I didn't know she suffered all these years. Sometimes I blame myself. I ask God to forgive me because we lack discernment. So wherever the relationship we will have, oh, you need to pray. Your daughters, your sons, before we come, we must seek God. We must need God. We're helpless without him. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. We can walk in power, in anointing. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. One time I was praying. My son, he's all drugged up, I guess, and there's nothing we could do. and I'm just helpless. And I just went and lay on the bed and I just cried to God, what else can I do? So one morning, one of my boys, sometimes we suffer, I'm sorry, I got missing teeth here. We suffer consequences of being disobedient. So one time, I was prayed up, praying, and I learned. And then one morning, I woke up 4 o'clock, and then the Spirit says, go downstairs. I went downstairs, and the light was on my son's room. And I opened the door, and then when I walked in, he had a shotgun right into his mouth, and he's trying to pull the trigger. And I got there on time. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being sensitive, that we hear the voice of God, that we're not just hearing, but to be obedient. So he says, he's just wearing his underwear. He sat there and he says, Dad, he's out of his mind almost. I asked God, if you love me, you'll send somebody. And then says, Dad, you came. And he got baptized this summer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long do I have here? I don't want to offend people here, never been fighted again. Will 10 minutes offend you? I'm just kidding. So, I went to church. I grew up in a church in Winnipeg. There's a lady pastor, Pastor Bergner, beautiful looking lady, wise. But then I was growing up there. She used to get up and she talked about herself about almost 45 minutes every time. And then she repeat everything, where she was and what date, what time, and every detail. And me as a man, I'm not used to that. So every day, I don't know how many years, 5 years. So I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. So I phoned her and I told her. But you know what? She never changed, but I changed. I can only change by prayer. I want to change by that. Sometimes he will not like the leadership. So I tell my wife, it's not me. It's not the children. It's you that needs prayer. So I says, it's not you. It's not the children. It's not the church. It's you. It's me, I says, that needs prayer. Come on. Or otherwise we'll go on. We'll go on. We may never find God, so we can change us, our attitudes. I struggled with that. That was real. That was real, but I come through that through the name of Jesus. Through the help of the Lord, I came through that. I got all my notes in my phone. I think my phone is dying. So I'm just trying to think here. So, anyways, where we work, we got to be in prayer wherever we work. We must be careful what we say in front of sinners, right? But then if we don't pray, if we don't seek God, we say all kind of things, right? We retaliate, eh? Come on, we retaliate, we joke around, and we need to be led, we need to be controlled by the Spirit, and I know that that's the only way that we can do it. One time at work, I decided I'll seek God. So for 3 weeks, I didn't come home after work, because if I came home after work, I'd sit down on the couch and I'd watch TV, I'd watch the news, and I'd watch sports. But this time I says, I'm not going to come home. I went right to the church, and I see God. I was by myself. And then about 3 weeks, I was going to go hunting geese. It was in the springtime for us. We go hunting. Oh, it was in my blood. I'd go every day. I'd go every day if I have to, because I just loved it. But this time I says, this spring, I'm not going to go hunting, but I'm going to see God. Sometimes we have to sacrifice, right? Sacrifice is powerful. Come on. The sacrifice God gave us is powerful. It impacts the whole world, right? Oh, yes, it brought salvation, right? There's one of these stories in the Old Testament when the armies came and fought against this heathen king, Israel came or whatever. But then the king knew they were going to be defeated, so he took his son and he sacrificed his son. And then he says that spirit that came upon Israel, condemnation, whatever, it drove them back. Because the power of sacrifice is in the Old Testament. So after 3 weeks, I came out from our chapel, and you know what I got? I got to memorize Psalms 23 by heart, and I got to memorize Psalms 121. By heart. I got to memorize Psalms 91 by heart. Eat that toilet in the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh my God, that's how you dwell, eh? That's where we come under the shadow of His wings. Oh my God. So I came out with Psalms 103. I came with Psalms 127. 126, 125, Psalms 133, Isaiah 53, who had believed our report, the arm is the arm of the Lord revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, I was so rich when I came. I was so rich, and I go and pray. I say that I read it there when I was at the farmer's throat there. I felt myself with the Word of God before I came to church. What about you? Did you have time? Did you have time to sit at the feet of Jesus? Cry with your tears and wipe his feet with your hair. Oh my, are you hungry for revival? I'm hungry. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. They call me Mr. Powerful Paco. I'm going to become more powerful and more powerful. Okay, so I'm going to quit right there. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because I have a 6-minute video I want to show you. But before I say that, I just want to say our church vision, we call BCN Community Outreach Church. We just started. So our vision is to provide a holistic approach to ministry where we can clothe the poor, where we can have soup kitchen, where we can have laundromat for people that don't have that. We can provide that. And then we can have a Christian school, good Sunday school program, leadership training program center, and we need a facility that will accommodate all these programs. I told Brother Roger that I'll present that here. Anybody feels led to support us? And I'm also with C2C Network Church Planting. I'll be going up north, way up north where the gospel is not preached there yet, but I'm willing to go. I need your prayer support. So I'm going to close with this. Billy Graham says the Aboriginal or Indigenous people are the sleeping giant, he said, prophesied 40 years ago. And I ask you here, I say this, I don't come to ask for finances. God can do it. God can find a millionaire somewhere. Build us a nice facility, right? It could be anywhere. We're gonna do a website, worldwide website, and we're gonna ask God to provide for us a million people that'll give $1 a month every year. That came to me. A million people with $1 a month. You think you can do that here? I believe you can do it. The little kids can do it, right? So God, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray that. But then I believe God is gonna raise up us as, you know, together. We're gonna evangelize our country here, North America, even to the world. I believe God is getting us ready. So all I'm saying is stand with us, pray for us, love us, accept us just the way we are. Okay, because God accepts us. That's like the brother said, right? Right on. Yeah, but seeking God to it, right on, eh? I appreciate what you shared. So I'm going to just close with this thing. God bless you. And we love you in Jesus. Men, be strong.
I think many missionaries mistakenly tried to convert the Indian to a culture rather than to Christ. They fostered upon him forms of worship strange to his heritage and tradition. But if Christ lives in his heart, is the all-important thing. You, as Indians, are a sleeping giant. The original American. You are now awakening. Just around the corner, you may become a spiritual superpower in this country that could change not only America, but the world.
From the Navajo Reservation.
The Crow Nation.
I'm Inupiaq and Athabascan.
White Mountain Apache Tribe.
I'm Muckleshoot and Arapaho.
I'm from the Navajo Nation.
God encountered me in a dream and told me to fast and pray for this generation in Native America.
I'm calling forth my generation.
I'm telling you, step out into your inheritance. This is your land. Awaken.
There's coming a great turnaround amongst the Native people. The spirit of suicide will be broken off of our people. Alcoholism will be broken off of our people. Native America, you have an inheritance from God on the earth in this land. And the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons and the giants of God to rise in Native America. So I say, go, awake, and rise.
And we would be the evangelist to go forth and win America back to Christ.
God, in his providence, in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, he has laid out a platform for the Native American people. He has set forth the stage. The curtains are drawn back. All he's asking is that we awaken to not only our identity, but to who we are in Christ, that we step upon this platform. The world is watching. The nations are listening. What do the First Nations people have to say? Will they preach Christ? Or will they preach hopelessness? What do they have to say?
It's been 40 years and no longer will we wander in the desert again as Native people. We will take our inheritance like Joshua and Caleb, and we will enter into the promises of God for the Native people.
40 years since Billy Graham shared his prophetic words with the First Nations people. And now the wind of awakening is blowing strong across this land. The gathering of tribal nations is one of the amazing fulfillments of the vision to see all tribes coming together, seeking God as one. In 2015, over 60 tribes were represented, united with Israel, and intercessors from China were supernaturally drawn, crying out in prayer for the First Nations people to see transformation on Native lands and bring revival to America. We are at the threshold of the next great move of God.
In the past, I think many missionaries mistakenly tried to convert the Indian to a culture rather than to Christ. This has been a mistake that many missionaries have made throughout the world. They tried to get him to wear the white man's suits and give up his traditional dress. They gave him a white shirt and a black tie. They fostered upon him forms of worship strange to his heritage and tradition. Thus, many Indians rebelled against Christianity.
It is time to step into your promise and purpose. Forgive and release your debtors. Seek God and not man. In this Kairos moment, rise up and walk into your destiny in Christ.
I believe it was speaking of what our government and what we have done to the native peoples. A wound was in their back. But because they can forgive, they can actually release this nation into a new day.
The First Nations were put in a place of honor and respect in this land, and which I believe is already going out from here with revival.
From the western shore of North America to the western gate of Jerusalem, we welcome the King of Glory.
So 120 drops will be released here. And when they emerge with 120 shofars, it has been said that it will bring
across Indian country, that the Spirit of the Lord has been moving. He's raising up the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the preachers. He's been raising up those who will come with encouragement, those who are willing to walk in unity and humility.
We need to go outside the boxes of our churches and reach other tribes and reach and to begin to evangelize, that we would become the evangelists to the world. God is calling us to the world now.
The sleeping giant has awakened. It's standing up. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
This is not an impossible dream.
Thank you very much for what you shared with us. Our prayer before the service was that you would have a freedom to be, just be who you are. So thank you to hear your heart